Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, student life, and today, student philanthropy and human flourishing. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Andy Hoag, a senior lecturer in the Honors Program in the Baylor Honors College and director of Baylor's Philanthropy and Public Service Program. His teaching focuses on social innovation, philanthropy, and public affairs, providing students with opportunities to innovate, lead, and work towards the greater good of their community and the world. Those threads come together in the Philanthropy and Public Service Program, which Andy helmed in 2012. The program enables students to be part of an organization that has made hundreds of thousands of dollars of gifts to local nonprofit organizations. Dr. Andy Hoag, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you on the program today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start off with the Philanthropy and Public Service Program. It seems a little bit like a hidden gem. Before we really delve into what it is, what is it that you enjoy most about leading a program like that? What's most meaningful to you?
Yeah, it's really the embodiment of Baylor's worldwide leadership and service mission. Of course, that happens in many ways all over the university, but what we get to do is to be, you know, really a sort of concrete example of that. We're built around partnerships across the university, academic programs, and student life programs we partner with, as well as nonprofit partners all over the community and, frankly, all over the world as well. Where we get to share in the work of promoting human flourishing. So we get to do interesting work with interesting people and students who don't fit the narratives that we societally like to make about students as mm-hmm. people who are self-absorbed or don't care. These are people doing remarkable work, and it's a pleasure to get to do that with them.
Well, let's talk about that program now. You mentioned students. This is, you know, you lead it, but it's student-run in so many ways. So tell us a little bit, what is the Philanthropy and Public Service Program all about? How does it work?
Sure, yeah. It's an academic program, first and foremost. So it is built around the curriculum. So students take courses, and within the Philanthropy and Public Service Program, there really are sort of two somewhat distinct parts. So on the one hand, we've got about 15 different courses every semester that are what we call civic learning courses. So these are service learning types of courses where in direct sort of partnership with the academic learning that happens in the classroom, students are actually out serving in the community. And we have a number of interesting ways we do that. In part, it's by having local community leaders who teach those courses. So folks like Jimmy and Janet Dorrell from Mission Waco, Carrie Berkeley from the Advocacy Center, Kent McKeever from Greater Waco Legal Services. These folks teach some of these courses for us and provide students with really seamless ways to integrate into the work that they're doing out in the community and integrate that with students' academic learning. The other significant piece of that is a much newer development in the program, and that's what we call the Baylor Philanthropy Initiative. And this is where we partner sort of on two sides of the coin. One, we partner with really generous donors, and then we partner with nonprofit leaders around the community and around the world in a program where our students are tasked with giving away money, with making grants to organizations that are doing interesting, innovative work to improve their communities, to improve lives. And so students in the Baylor Philanthropy Initiative, in their learning about philanthropy, are serving like a foundation board of directors. They are stewarding tens of thousands of dollars and making decisions about where that goes. So those are really sort of the two distinct parts of this academic program, all under the umbrella of the Philanthropy and Public Service Program.
Talking to Dr. Andy Hoag, and Dr. Hoag, how do students, you know, you think about a foundation. We certainly have some great ones in Waco and Central Texas. There's so much need that you could allocate resources to. What are some things students learn about how you make those decisions? It seems like it could be overwhelming.
Yeah, it can be, certainly. And students walk into a course. Our main course on this is called Philanthropy and the Public Good, and they walk in a little bit overwhelmed. They walk in, I think, initially thinking this is going to be easy, and then when they realize just how vast the need is, and how many different wonderful organizations are out there aspiring to meet those needs, you know, in that process, they become a little bit overwhelmed. So what we do is really try to equip our students for the task at hand in their semester, but also taking a much sort of longer horizon here and really trying to equip them for a lifetime of what we call mindful strategic generosity. So this is kind of what we call this mindful piece of this is based out of the Book of Common Prayer, where for centuries Christians have prayed, make us mindful of the needs of others, and really trying to understand what's at play in a lot of the problems that plague our society. How can we understand that and understand where we're interested in helping? But then also developing not just a sense of what the need is and you know where we might help, but also becoming strategic in how we do that. And that's it's a pretty elaborate process. But all of that is really aimed toward cultivating in our students what we call lives of generosity, which is where this is not a one-time thing where they're doing this with someone else's money, but they're preparing themselves to do this over the course of a lifetime.
What about that solving problems aspect as well? You know, when you hear from people like Jimmy and Janet Dorrell, they're on the ground solving problems or doing their best to solve small problems and big problems every day. How does that play into the student educational experience, just seeing those broader things at play?
Sure. Yeah, that's great. It, really, I can't emphasize enough how much our nonprofit partners in the community and certainly around the world as well are co-educators. I mean, these are folks who help our students really get a glimpse of what it's like to do transformational work in a community. So we certainly lean very heavily on these nonprofit partners, these leaders in our community who are doing interesting work to help our students understand what that work really looks like in the day-to-day. But as well, at the same time, and this is really one of the tremendous benefits of doing this in an academic context, is we get to study. We get to kind of learn the complexity of what we call wicked problems. These are problems that are really complex and really interrelated. Does poverty cause poor educational outcomes, or do educational problems cause poverty? Right. These can be sort of multifaceted problems that are interrelated. Mm-hmm. And so our students do a lot of learning around kind of the bigger issues, sort of a macro perspective of what's happening in the world to cause these problems, but then looking as well at the embodiment of people who are out there to improve these problems.
Visiting with Dr. Andy Hoag from the Baylor Honors College, and he's the director of Baylor's Philanthropy and Public Service Program. Mentioned the Honors College. Let's tell a little bit about the history of how the Philanthropy and Public Service Program, you know, kind of got involved with the Honors College, and a little bit about the background leading up to that.
Sure. Yeah, this program actually began in 1991, and it began initially in the College of Arts and Sciences, and we owe a huge debt of gratitude to the folks in the College of Arts and Sciences for, in part, their role in helping to birth this program, which was born out of, initially was called the Civic Education and Community Service Program. It was born out of a university-wide committee in 1990 that wanted to integrate service into the core curriculum at Baylor. And that sort of spawned a partnership with the Rappaport and Waco Foundations, who helped provide some of the initial seed funding to get this program launched. But a few years ago, in 2014, we really sort of pivoted a little bit in this program and were able to sort of move into the Honors College as a smaller unit within the university where we could be a little nimbler, a little more able to raise some funds to support the work that we're doing. And it's been just a wonderful home. You know, the Honors College is, I've heard folks describe it as a small liberal arts college within a large research university, which I think a great characterization for some of what happens, because it's a very student-focused environment. It's a very interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary environment, and it draws students from all over. So it's been just a wonderful place for this program to be, because we have a number of resources at our disposal there.
Talking to Dr. Andy Hogue, and as we talk about the Philanthropy and Public Service Program, I think it seems obvious how well it fits into the Baylor mission. When you think about worldwide leadership and service, this clicks with that very nicely. But aside from the obvious giving aspect, you know, what impact does that idea of Christian service, how does that permeate the program?
Absolutely. That's a great question. We really are guided. There's a passage in the first epistle to Timothy. It says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they may take hold of the life that truly is life. And that's really sort of what's animating what we do in this program. We start with this sort of larger sense of purpose, that we want to promote that life that really is life within our community, within the world at large, and starting with that sense of purpose, that sense of why, that sense of calling, you know, what we do and how we do it can take all sorts of different forms and shapes. But that sort of Christian calling to share, to do good deeds, to be generous, is really sort of the animating, driving force within the program.
What about for you personally? Why is this role such a good fit for you, or why does it mean so much to you to be a part of it?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. It is a really amazing chance, an opportunity to work with good people from all sorts of different spaces in our community, in our society. We've got a number of donors from corporations like the Aramark Corporation, which supports our work right here on campus. A number of donors who have done well in the private sector, who see the value of what we're trying to do, who are generous people themselves and want to sort of spread what they call a message of generosity, as well as getting to sort of partner that, couple that with the folks around our community who are doing life-changing work, who are doing inspirational work. And then really at the heart of all of that is our students, who are at this moment in their lives where the world is out in front of them. They have opportunities to do good. And so to bring people and resources together for the formation of our students is really it's a wonderful spot to be. It's a fun place to be, to watch those lights come on for these students as they catch a glimpse of how they can do good in the world and how they can be strategic about how they do good in the world.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Andy Hogue, a senior lecturer in the Baylor Honors College and director of Baylor's Philanthropy and Public Service Program. You mentioned that formational aspect in the lives of students. What are some of the ways that, you know, maybe some anecdotes or things you've seen that really stand out to you about why this experience is so formative to students?
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that we are most focused on. I for our students, at the beginning of the semester, I'll often in my courses talk about you know, sort of three sets of goals, three buckets of goals for our class time together. So one of those is really about what our students learn. And we want them to learn things that matter about the world, about the nonprofit sector, the social sector, about the big problems that plague our society, right? We want to do a lot of really good learning that matters. We're also going to do some things that matter with the grants that we give, the opportunities that our students have to partner with and lend financial support to these important initiatives throughout our community. But then also the third bucket of learning goals that we have is really about who our students are, who they're becoming. And some of the things that we really focus on is we want them to be generous people. We want them to be hopeful people. Who have a real clear sense that the world can be made better, and there are going to be problems, but we can do something to improve lives. So people who are hopeful, who are curious, who are always willing to learn, and who are generative, who are students who are going to be planting trees under whose shade they might not sit, right? Mm-hmm. Who are really about building things that matter. And so we have had students who have done tremendous, tremendous things in their everyday lives. I mean, some of these students are going on to start new nonprofit organizations around the world. Some of these students are working right here in our own community, serving on boards of directors that sort of comes out of the expertise that they're building in these courses. We've had students who have committed themselves in really compelling ways to lives of generosity. So these are students sometimes who are going into careers in the private sector where they're probably going to make a lot of money. And they've committed themselves before they ever have that money in hand to practicing generosity, to orienting their lives in a way that their resources are not their own, but are shared resources for the improvement of their communities and the world.
We've certainly painted the picture, and I'd like to see that picture painted before we get to the numbers, but there are some impressive numbers when you think in terms of what's been given to organizations in the community in Central Texas. I would like to hear that, but first, about how many students are involved with this in a given year?
Sure. So overall in the program, we have about 300 to 400 students in a semester, and bear in mind that that includes our civic learning courses where they're doing service in conjunction with the courses that they're taking. Within the philanthropy initiative, within our philanthropy and the public good course, we typically keep that around 20 students a semester because the work is so hard and it's so collaborative. And so we try to sort of cap that at and they're going to be serving as one board of directors. And so we keep that capped at about 20 per semester.
Okay. And what about the amounts that's been given over the years? Pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, we have been very fortunate. We've had several bounces go our way. In 2014 is when we began our work doing this grant making, doing philanthropy work. And since that time, in 4 years, we're now entering our ninth semester of the course. We've given already $550,285. We'll pass $600,000 here in a few weeks at the end of this semester. That's been 90 different grants that have been awarded by our students, and 85 out of those 90 have been right here in Waco, which is actually over $500,000 in Waco. One of the things that we've really wanted to do is always be a value add to our community. We have people doing tremendous work, and we don't want to burden them from doing that work. We simply want to add to it. So over $500,000 that generous donors have given to Baylor so that our Baylor students might then give that money in support of good work as they do their lengthy due diligence process. So we've had, out of those 90 grants, it's been 48 distinct organizations that have received those, including several startup nonprofit organizations who didn't exist, who were coming into existence when they entered conversation with our students, and our students were able to give, in several cases, the very first money to those organizations.
That's great. Looking for new ways to solve some of those problems and being Absolutely. A part of that. That's fantastic. We're talking to Dr. Andy Hogue, and Dr. Hogue, your work, your academic work beyond the Philanthropy and Public Service Program certainly ties in with a lot of what goes on there. Tell us a little bit about your research interests and maybe how it shapes in part how you look at this program.
Yeah. The old adage is that, you know, research improves teaching, teaching improves research, and that's certainly been the case in my experience. I'm presently at work on two different books that really sync up well with the things that we're doing in the classroom. Working on one book with a colleague at Duke University around social innovation, around the ways that leaders and institutions might draw from wisdom of the past as they are looking for new ways to solve problems in a world that is changing rapidly, where we feel all sorts of turbulence, whether that's technological change, whether that's declining trust that we have in one another throughout our society. So really trying to equip leaders of our society's important institutions to be able to orient themselves toward human flourishing, toward a goal that perhaps all of us can share, whether we are Christians or are not Christians. There's a sort of universal belief that among people of all faiths and philosophies that we can promote one another's flourishing. And so I think there's something important about orienting ourselves toward that and trying to align what happens in our institutions around this larger purpose of promoting human flourishing. So I'm at work on a book that's really trying to outline some of that, to help equip leaders for that, as well as another project, book project that is looking at some tangible ways that that's happening, including some ways that that's happening. Actually, a case study or two from here in Waco, some of the tremendous work that our friends over at the Talitha Kum Institute are doing to really sort of help give some of these ideas that we've got something tangible, something with shape, because they're doing some really important and really inspiring work.
You know, without giving away anything, you know, without pulling back the curtain too soon, are there some tidbits that are early on that would be worth sharing with people about whether they lead an organization or have influence in their own organization or even their family?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of what we're trying to focus on is the ways in which we as individuals and we as institutions might be more intentional about formation, about cultivating who we are as people who are marked by some of the same character traits that I just described a moment ago. People who are hopeful, people who are motivated and animated by love, who are generous. That if we become these kinds of people, that's one really important part of the equation for how our institutions might be better equipped to meet the challenges that are in front of us in the future. In addition, it matters how we collaborate with one another. Some of what we're trying to articulate in this book is that the ways we form unlikely friendships across areas of expertise, across industries, that these kinds of things, might help us, might equip us to better solve problems. If we're entrepreneurial in the ways that we collaborate with one another, we're more likely to move the needle, to shift the equilibrium on some of these big complex problems that are plaguing our world.
We'll look forward to seeing that. And is it too early to get an idea of when that might be coming out, or do you have a deadline in mind?
We're going to finish writing by the end of the calendar year and hopefully out sometime next year.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, that's coming soon. Well, we'll look forward to that. Well, Andy Hoke, thanks so much for joining us today. Enjoy the conversation and look forward to hearing more about the great work. Really, I think it is a hidden gem here at Baylor University, the work that you and your students do in the Philanthropy and Public Service Program.
Thanks, Derek. It's been a pleasure.
You're Dr. Andy Hoke, Senior Lecturer in the Baylor Honors College and Director of Baylor's Philanthropy and Public Service Program, our guest today on Baylor Connections. Reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, or you can subscribe on iTunes. I'm Derek Smith. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.